Welcome to hour number two of Rosie on the House. It's 8 a.m. Saturday morning, which means we are in the outdoor hour. We've got John Eisenhower, our certified arborist, who joins us monthly in studio with us talking trees today. And if you've got a question, you better call early. Calls have already started lining up at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Before we get to our calls, John brings a tree, and we talk about it extensively each month. How many favorite trees do you have?
Oh, man. There's a lot of good native trees that I love, but then there's a lot of introduced species, too, that I've come to really appreciate. And the reason why is that they have proven through time to have a really good track record. The Chinese elm, for instance, is just an amazingly adaptable tree. In fact, Dr. Chris Martin at ASU did a research project on which trees were best suited for those little traffic islands with limited planting spaces and parking lots and little spots where they, you know, you need a little bit of additional shade and they're paved areas. And lo and behold, the Chinese elm beat all of our native desert trees for the most adaptable tree in those limited spots. They're incredibly hot, not just because of the direct sun, but you have that reflected sun off the paved surfaces. So, no, I just have a ton of a short list of some really good trees. In fact, on our website, I've got a list of trees that people ask me all the time, you know, what's your favorite tree? What's the best tree if I need to replace one that I've lost or for these specific applications? Well, we developed a little a sheet of paper that has the best medium-sized shade trees, and it's organized according to height. And some of our favorite ones are listed there on our website.
How long before we start recycling material? Are there 20 tree species? Are there 50 tree species? Are there 100 tree species?
Yeah, there's a bunch. The one that I brought today that I really wanted to talk about was one that happens to be in bloom right now. It's called the Texas olive. Now, this is different than the sweet European olive tree. In fact, it's not really an olive. It's a Cordia is the genus. The species is Bolsieri. And the Texas olive is a small, dark green, almost a shrub-like tree. If you've got a place in your yard where you don't want a large tree that's going to outgrow the space like a typical mesquite or a eucalyptus or one of our larger trees, this is a great, what I'd consider a patio tree. It's good for those little confined spaces, gives you a little bit of shade. It grows only to be about maybe 10, 12 feet, 15 feet, relatively slow-growing tree. You can trim it like a huge shrub, or you can train it up to become a small tree. And what's really nice is it has quite a large 2 or 3 inch white bloom against this dark green leaf. And it's an evergreen, so it stays green all year long. And quite a beautiful tree. You'll see them scattered around town. Not real common. And that's sort of why I wanted to bring it to our listeners' attention today, because it's a great tree.
And looking behind the bloom in the picture you've got printed here, it looks like there's little olives on it, or is that just a flower bloom?
No, you're right. They have these little fruits, little olives. They're really not olives, but they kind of look like olives.
Ornamental.
That's sort of what has given it its common name as a Texas olive.
And what's the growth rate on these? If I planted one from a 5 gallon, a real small
pot
out of the nursery?
They're a relatively slow-growing plant. You know, you probably get a foot or so of growth a year, as opposed to, mesquites will give you 2 feet of growth a year. These are going to, of course, the mature size of a tree often dictates its rate of growth. Your larger trees, of course, are going to be putting on 2-3 feet of growth a year, and your smaller shrub-like trees will give you a little bit slower pace.
And so that is the Texas olive.
The Texas olive, yeah, it's a beautiful little tree, and I think it's great for screening as well because, like I said, you can, as you grow them up, you can leave the foliage lower on the plant if you like, and as it gets taller, you can start raising of the branches up on the bottom to create more of a tree form, or you can just leave them low. I have a few Vitex trees at our house that we have left all the lower branches on just because we love the screen. We have no need to trim them all the way up, and they give you that nice fuller appearance.
And it's hot outside, obviously, no matter what part of the state by your relative dimension. A little storms cool it off, but a lot of things you don't want to prune in the heat, but this is a perfect time to prune a lot of things.
Well, we try to discourage people from doing heavy pruning. It's all a matter of dosage. You know, pruning is the removal of the tree's natural protection from the sun, especially on our more sensitive plants that have, are at risk of sun damage to the trunk or to the main stems. So we discourage, you know, some heavy pruning. But there are a lot of trees that you can prune if you're reducing the dosage of pruning. You can do mild grooming, even on citrus, which are very sun-sensitive. But you can do a little bit of minor shaping on your lemons and your grapefruit because this time of year, they're growing heavily. They've had all their spring and summer growth. And right about now, a lot of our trees are so full. With that spring rain we had, a lot of trees have just, you know, been amazing. Fall and winter rain, which is unusual, and then spring rain as well, has just given our trees a lot of additional foliage, vegetative growth, which you need to kind of contain. And if you are wary of spring or summer pruning because you're afraid you'll do damage to the trees, well, just reduce the dosage of pruning. Just, you know, mildly tip them back sometimes. And then in the fall, you can do a little bit of additional pruning. But just to get them through the summer, through the monsoon, without risk of excessive end weight causing branches to break, you can do a little bit of minor grooming. That being said, there are a couple of trees, our more vigorous tree varieties, that can endure some pretty heavy summer pruning. In fact, the mesquite tree is one that we recommend pruning in summer. Because the mesquites have had all their spring and summer flush of growth, it's a great time to prune because if you prune them in March or April, by this time of the year, they've replaced all the foliage you've taken off. And if you spent money to have them pruned, it's not very good value because here in the summer, they're full again and they're looking full for the rest of the year. So what we recommend for mesquites is because they can take the heavier pruning in the summer is to allow them to have their spring and summer growth. And then usually before the monsoon, but even now in July, August, if they aren't too heavy, you can wait. And then when you prune them, because you are pruning off a significant amount of that spring and summer growth, and they begin to slow down this time of year, they hold their prune for more of the calendar year if they're pruned now. So now, they'll look great through the fall, through the winter, and into the spring, and then you just let them get full all the way through spring and summer and prune them again midsummer.
Now, how often do you get to a client's house? And it may be somebody that has moved into the home or the landscaper didn't do proper care, and you can tell, all right, this mesquite has a ton of growth. It's getting watered shallow, and the drip line isn't nearly half the way out to the edge of the branches. So you know it's a huge risk of toppling over. At that point, do you prune extra? It may not be the best thing for the tree and looks and design, but to keep it from getting blown over,
sure,
it's what's required. I mean, how often do you have to run into make that call for the extra heavy pruning?
Yeah, we face that pretty commonly, actually, because we have to make some decisions if the alternative for allowing a tree to continue to grow without any pruning is total tree failure or loss of some major branches. Of course, a better option would be to take the risk of doing some very heavy, drastic pruning. And with mesquites, it's really not that high a risk. As I said, they are really durable trees, can handle some pretty aggressive pruning. The ANSI standards specify that we should only remove 25% of a tree's foliage in any one growing season as a guideline. Some trees, of course, are far less than 25%, and some tree species are more than 25. The ANSI gives us that as a guideline. But mesquites are one of those ones where we routinely prune in excess of 25%, sometimes to 30, 35, 40% of the tree's foliage in one growing season because we know they can replace that foliage and be safer for the next year.
Hector's in Queen Creek. Gina's in Phoenix. Joe's on the line, but Rick called in before Bill Paxton from Arizona Game and Fish left of the studio. He's ready to talk about his lemon tree. Go ahead, Rick.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hello.
Yes, I've got a lemon tree that I just had to. It had a bad split right in the middle of a branch, and I had to cut it back to the trunk. And I just wondered, should I let it heal naturally, or is there a paint or something that's not white that I could color it with, seal it?
Yeah, we generally don't recommend using the paint sealers that you can. They call them pruning sealers. There's aerosols and some in jars that you can paint on with a brush. We don't recommend that. The research has shown that they don't do a lot to help the tree to compartmentalize that injury. Just allow the tree to do that on its own. That being said, because the loss of that branch on your citrus has probably exposed some of the trunk tissue and maybe some of the other nearby larger branches to too much sun, I would recommend getting a tree paint, not the pruning paint, the black pruning paint, but rather a light-colored latex paint. And they sell the actually tree paint in the gallons. You can buy them at hardware stores. And that's a really good product to go ahead and paint on. It's not really a sun screen. It doesn't really protect the trees entirely. It does lower the surface temperature slightly by a degree or two, and that could be the difference between your tree getting sunburned or not. If you think there's too much sun and it's going to get really blasted, you might want to consider using a sunshade screen, a 50% shade cloth, to wrap those branches or actually drape it over the entire area of the tree and pin down the corners, tie down the corners, and give that tree a chance to send up some new growth. In fact, the shade cloth is actually my preferred method of protecting trees because the paints and any kind of tree wrap actually wraps the tree up and prevents sunlight from getting to it. And what you want to see happen is around that wound site where the damage occurred, you want to see some new branches starting to emerge because you can train those up to become significant in the canopy, and eventually they'll provide the shade you need to protect that area. And the shade cloth, if it's draped over the whole tree in that area, will allow, 50-50 shade cloth, allows sun to get through there to stimulate some new growth, but also provides some shade to protect that new growth as it's developing.